الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، continue our readings in Fadail al-Quran, the virtues of the Quran, by the great scholar Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala. And we have discussed a number of benefits that the author he has mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, with regards to the virtue of the Quran and the carriers of the Quran, and likewise what is intended from the revelation of the Quran, and that it should be understood, that one must believe in it and understand it and comprehend it and strive to implement it and apply it in his life, along with reciting it in the daytime and the nighttime. We have seen that the recitation of the verses is the means, and the aim and the goal from that is to understand and to believe and to take admonition and to take heed and to abide by the law and legislation that is found therein. And this is the true purpose of the Quran, and the true recitation of the Quran lies in the application, of the legislation and law that is found, therein. And we have seen the dangers of turning away from applying the Quran and abiding by it, turning away from the Quran entirely, waliyadhu billah, and likewise turning away from seeking understanding and implementing that which the Quran requires and necessitates, again, from law and legislation. And the author, he mentions now, rahimahullahu ta'ala, babun al-khawfu ala man lam yafham al-Qur'ana an yakuna min al-munafiqin, the chapter about the fear for one who does not understand the Quran to be from the hypocrites. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has mentioned the traits and characteristics of the hypocrites. Waliyadhu billah, he has mentioned their traits and characteristics in many verses, and different chapters throughout the book of Allah. And many times whenever their traits and characteristics are mentioned, or whenever their blame and censored in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah will clarify likewise this affair here, that they do not have fiqh in the deen, that they do not understand that which was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَطُوبِعَ عَلَى قُلُوبِهِمْ فَهُمْ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ. Allah, he mentioned about them that their hearts have been sealed, and so therefore they do not have fiqh, they do not have understanding. Sometimes it will be mentioned about them that in their ears is a waqar, yani samam wa thiqal, that in their ears is a block and something heavy in their ears, prohibiting them from hearing the truth in a manner that's beneficial. And likewise, in their eyes is the qishawa, and they're not able to see the truth, and they're not able to comprehend, and the knowledge does not pierce their heart and settle in their chest to where they benefit and believe. And we have taken in our previous class the issue of listening, and that as-sama' yukunu ala thalathi maratib, that listening, it occurs in three stages: sama' al-udhun, wa sama' al-qalb, wa sama' al-qaburi wa al-inqiyad. Sama' al-qaburi wa al-inqiyad, and that is to listen with the ear, and then to listen with the heart, to listen in a manner of acceptance and compliance. So to hear with the ear is one thing, and to listen attentively with the ear and the heart and strive to comprehend what is being mentioned, this is another thing. And then to be granted success, to accept that which one hears and to comply to it, this is the success and guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So although the hypocrites and the disbelievers, they have ears, they're able to hear, they're not able to truly benefit from their hearing. They do not hear it with their heart. They do not comprehend it in their mind truthfully, and therefore they do not comply, nor do they surrender and submit to the commandments that are found therein. So again, this is the traits of the hypocrites, waliyadhu billah. And the Jews, they share in that characteristic likewise. The Jews, in reality, they're hypocrites. But the hypocrites, whenever they're mentioned in the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla, what is referred to are individuals, that outwardly display Islam, while inside their heart they conceal disbelief. But hypocrisy is in many aspects, and from that is leaving the application of the knowledge that one knows, leaving the application of the knowledge that one knows. And the Yahud, waliyadhu billah, they're leaders in this, they're leaders in that, they're leaders in having knowledge and contradicting their knowledge and not applying it properly, waliyadhu billah. So likewise, people from this ummah, they could share in that characteristic and trait if they're not careful. And this is the intent from the chapter, to warn, from resembling the hypocrites. It's feared. It's feared that the one who does not comprehend and understand the Quran, he will be from the hypocrites. You'll be from the hypocrites. And this is from the punishment of disbelief and from the punishment of having a foul intention and showing preference to this life, that a person, he will be turned away from the Quran. That a person, he will be turned away from the Quran and he will not be able to understand, even to the extent maybe he will not even care to understand. He will not even care to understand. And the one who does not care to understand, or he does not make the effort to understand, then he will not be guided. Then he will not be guided and he will fall into misguidance and he will fall into hypocrisy, and his actions will contradict his statements if he claims that he believes. And at bare minimum, it will be a great deficiency in his faith and a great weakness in his shahada, and it will make his faith light with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and make his deen light with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, this is a warning here. So the author, he mentioned, he says, wa qawluhu ta'ala, and his statement, the Most High, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَسْتَمِعُ إِلَيْكَ حَتَّى إِذَا خَرَجُوا مِنْ عِنْدِكَ الْآيَةِ. And he said in the statement of Allah the Most High, the meaning of which is, and among them are some who listen to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, until they go out from you, until they leave from you. He says here al-ayah, yani al-ayata, and this means akmil al-ayata, or you can read it al-ayati, yani ila akhiri al-ayati. And what is intended here? The author, he's summarizing, he's mentioning a portion of the evidence, but what he is intending from this is that one, he will read the entire verse to understand the aspect of proof. So the verse continues, and Allah, he says, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَسْتَمِعُ إِلَيْكَ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَسْتَمِعُ إِلَيْكَ حَتَّى إِذَا خَرَجُوا مِنْ عِنْدِكَ قَالُوا لِلَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ مَاذَا قَالَ آنِفًا أُولَئِكَ الَّذِينَ طَبَعَ اللَّهُ عَلَى قُلُوبِهِمْ وَاتَّبَعُوا أَهْوَاءَهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions in this noble verse, and among them are some who listen to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And meaning they sit in the gatherings along with you and along with the noble companions and along with the true believers. And what is in reference to here is specifically the munafiqun, the hypocrites, yani amongst the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions, radiallahu anhum, in Medina, are individuals who are sitting in the gatherings likewise, and they're listening to the admonishment and the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being taught in these gatherings. And then whenever they leave from those gatherings, قَالُوا لِلَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ مَاذَا قَالَ آنِفًا. Then after that, they leave and they say to the companions, and those who have been granted knowledge in reference to the noble companions, radiallahu anhum, what did he say while ago? And meaning that they did not comprehend. They were sitting in the gathering and they were not paying attention and they were not striving to understand. And they, in reality, did not want to understand. And in reality, this is belittlement. This is belittlement. That they would sit in the gathering of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, listening to him teach the guidance and direct the people and admonish them and remind them and give them sincere advice. And then the whole time their hearts are not paying attention nor trying to benefit. And then whenever they leave, they say, what is he saying before anyways? What did he say a while ago? By the way, what was he talking about? And he's showing that they have no care and no concern. So this is from the traits of the hypocrites. Allah, he mentioned about them, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ طَبَعَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَاتَّبَعُوا أَهْوَاءَهُمْ. These people here, they are those whom Allah has sealed their hearts, and they follow their desires. And they follow their desires. So this verse is in reference to the munafiqun, to the hypocrites directly. And we must know, barakallahu fikum, that an-nifaq is two types. Hypocrisy is two types. In the Quran, whenever it's being referred to, it's referring to the pure hypocrisy. Yani an-nifaq al-i'tiqadi. An-nifaq al-i'tiqadi. And this is to outwardly display that one believes and follows the religion of Islam, but in his heart he conceals disbelief and he does not believe. And this type of hypocrisy was present in Al-Medina. This type of hypocrisy was present in Al-Medina, and it continues. وَرِيَاذِ بِاللَّهِ. And there are individuals who have goals, and they have motives, and they have aims, and many times to save their worldly life, and likewise to work corruption and evil inside the ranks of the believers, to work corruption and evil from within the ranks of the believers. And so these people here, they're not Muslims. The munafiqun here, what is being referred to, they're not Muslims. They're not Muslims. The munafiqun in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those who are referred to in the book of Allah in many different chapters and many different verses, they were not Muslims. But they were given the rights of the Muslims because that's what they displayed outwardly, until that which was in their heart was revealed from their statements or actions. So this is the first type. It's called a nifaq al-i'tiqadi. Yani this is hypocrisy in creed. Yani it's pure hypocrisy. Wa'iyadhu billah. pure hypocrisy. The second type is called a nifaq al-amali. And although it's lesser than this major nifaq, it's still something major and great. And it's called hypocrisy in action. And this is, for example, whenever a person, he will lie, or he will cheat, or he will deceive, or he will commit any action that is contrary or in violation of the legislation. And he says he's a believer. He says, I believe, I bear witness, there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. And I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. This testimony of faith requires and necessitates that he will comply and submit in obedience to Allah and his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, inwardly and outwardly. So by opposing that which the shahada requires and necessitates from obedience and from compliance in from compliance in actions, this is a type of hypocrisy, and it occurs because of a weakness in faith. A person, he will lie while he knows it's forbidden because of a weakness in faith. A person, he would cheat, he will steal, he will rob, he will take interest while he knows it's forbidden, and he knows the great threat with regards to that, out of a weakness in faith. But he still has faith. So he's still a believer, but there is deficiency in his faith. So because he says he believes, and in reality he's a believer, but he contradicts what his belief requires and necessitates from him in action, it's considered hypocrisy. It's considered hypocrisy. So what is feared for the believers is that they will fall into this type of hypocrisy. And whenever it's mentioned in the narrations that many of us know, the companions, they were all afraid, each one of them, after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were afraid of hypocrisy for themselves. They were afraid of this type of hypocrisy, meaning that their faith would be deficient, that their faith would be weak, that they will say one thing and then their desires will overcome them and they would disobey Allah and act contrary to their creed and belief, and act in contradiction to their statements of faith and their deen that they know is incumbent upon them. So it's feared for a believer, nifaq al-amali, and this nifaq here leads to a nifaq al-itiqadi. And the people of knowledge, they say, al-ma'asiyah barid al-kufr, that disobedience is the means, the pathway that leads to disbelief. So this is a major affair. So from the attributes of the pure hypocrites is that they did not understand the Quran, and they did not have care and concern to try to understand the Quran. And then based upon that, because of that, they follow their desires. So from the attributes of the hypocrites is that they do not have understanding. They do not have proper and correct knowledge. They do not benefit from the knowledge when it's presented to them. And their knowledge and understanding is corrupted. And along with that, they follow their desires. So therefore, also they have bad intentions, and their aims are corrupted, and their wants and desires are lowly and base. Are lowly and base. وَاتَّبَعُوا أَهْوَاءَهُمْ أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ طَبَعَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَاتَّبَعُوا أَهْوَاءَهُمْ. These are individuals, these hypocrites here, that say the likes of this, not giving care or concern to listen and understand properly what was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the knowledge and guidance. These are the ones that Allah has sealed their hearts, and they followed their desires. The author, he says, وَقَوْلُهُ عَزَّ وَجَلٍ وَقَوْلُهُ عَزَّ وَجَلٍ, and his statement, the Most High, وَلَقَدْ ذَرَأْنَا لِجَهَنَّمَ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ أَعْيُنٌ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ آذَانٌ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا. The author, he says, and his statement, the Most High, and surely we have created many of the jinn and mankind for the hellfire. And they were created to be the dwellers of the hellfire. They have hearts. This is their description. The description of those jinn, those from the jinn and mankind who were created to be dwellers of the hellfire. This is their description. They have hearts wherewith they understand not. And they have eyes wherewith they see not. And they have ears wherewith they hear not. Any meaning? They have hearts but they do not understand with them. They have hearts that do not comprehend. They do not understand. They do not reflect and ponder properly until they benefit. And they have eyes, but they cannot see. They cannot see the truth and the reality of life, and do not benefit from the signs in the creation around them, nor do they benefit from the verses of Allah Azza wa Jal. And they have ears that they do not hear with. Any meaning, they cannot see the truth whenever it's in front of their face, and they cannot hear it whenever it's presented to them, even in the most eloquent and clearest of manners. And likewise, they do not comprehend. They do not comprehend the reality of the purpose of their very life and the wisdom behind their breath and their soul and why they have eyes and ears and the ability to reflect and comprehend in the first place. And the ability to reflect and comprehend in the first place. The author mentioned likewise here at ayat, yani until the end of the ayat. And the ayat it continues, and Allah He says, "Ulaika kal an'ami, bal hum adal. Ulaika hum al ghafilun." These people here, they're like the cattle. Rather, they are more astray. It is these they are the heedless. So Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, He has created people from mankind and from jinn for the hellfire. He has created them and He has decreed that they will be the dwellers of the hellfire. And likewise, Allah Azza wa Jal, He has created people from mankind and jinn, and He has decreed that they will be from the people of paradise. The people whom Allah has created for the hellfire, they have characteristics and traits, and they have creeds and beliefs, and they have actions and statements and deeds that they do, that lead them to the hellfire. And likewise, the people of paradise, those whom Allah has created for the paradise, they have creed and belief, and they have actions and statements and deeds that they work in this life, the actions and deeds of the people of paradise, and they perform them until they die in that manner, So the people who are created for the hellfire, along with that, they do the deeds of the people of hellfire until they die in that state. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ And the people who are created for the paradise, they perform the actions of the people of paradise until they die in that manner. By the grace and the mercy of Allah. The point here to understand the danger of this affair, the chapter on the fear of the one who does not understand the Quran, that he may be from the hypocrites, or he may become from the hypocrites, or he may be tried with hypocrisy, is clear here, that the people who are created for the hellfire, what are their traits? لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا They have hearts, لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا They're not able to understand, no fiqh, no understanding in the religion. They have hearts. It's not like they don't have hearts. No, they have hearts. What is intended, they have hearts. They have minds. They have qulub, yani afida. They have hearts and minds that they ponder and they reflect with. Yet they do not truly benefit from them. In the wisdom in which the hearts were created for. And that is to be full of the love of Allah and the tawheed of Allah, and to prefer the command of Allah over the desires and whims. And this is the test. We're tried with our hearts. There's a test with the heart and with love specifically. And there's a test with hope and fear, which stems from love. It must be pure. It must be purified and made sincerely and wholeheartedly for Allah alone. The people of paradise, this is their trait. They love Allah Azza wa Jal. And they love the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. And they love the commandments of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And they strive against their soul to show preference to that love. And implement that in their lives. Until they die in this manner, striving on the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. Along with the deficiencies that they have. But this is their life and this is their way. This is their deen. And this is how they live. As for the people who are created for the hellfire, they're contrary. لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ أَعْيُنٌ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ آذَانٌ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا They have hearts they do not comprehend and reflect with. They have eyes they do not see with. They have ears they cannot hear with. فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَى الْأَبْصَارِ وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَى الْقُلُوبَ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ It is not the eyes that truly go blind, but rather what goes blind are the hearts that are in the breasts. So this is true blindness, not the blindness of the basar, but the blindness of the basira. This is true loss and failure, not the loss of the eyesight, not the loss of the basar, but the loss of the basira, the loss of the insight, the loss of the guidance and the tawfiq from Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So maybe a person, he can see with his eyes, but if Allah does not guide him, he will not see the truth, even if it's clear in front of his face. A person, he has ears and he can hear, but if Allah does not guide him and favor him, he will not be able to hear the truth, even if it's clarified in the most eloquent manner. And likewise, the heart, it must be able to comprehend. Shaykhul Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he mentioned about those haughty intellectual individuals that were not guided to al-Islam, that were not guided to the tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal. zaka'an, that they were given cleverness, but they were not given purity. They were given cleverness, but they were not given purity. And they were given sciences, but they were not given proper understanding. They're not given proper understanding. So it's not sufficient to gather information or to recite the Quran fluently, but rather to strive to understand and comprehend that. For this reason, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was ordered to ask Allah for an increase in knowledge. وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا, and say, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O my Lord, increase me in knowledge. Increase me in knowledge. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, مَنْ يُرِيدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ, that whomsoever Allah wants good for, He'll grant him fiqh in the deen. He'll grant him understanding in the religion. So the one whom Allah wants good for, He grants him understanding in the religion. And the one whom Allah does not want good for, He does not grant him understanding in the religion. And he will be from those, أَلَذِينَ لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا وَعَيُنٌ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ بِهَا وَآذَانٌ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا أُولَئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ أُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْغَافِلُونَ. They will be like those people who have hearts, but they're not able to comprehend and reflect with them and understand properly. And they have eyes, but they're not able to see the truth and benefit from that. And they have ears, and they're not able to hear the truth with them. They're not able to hear the truth with them. And these people, they're like the cattle. Rather, they're even more astray. Because the cattle, even though they cannot understand you, if you call them, they'll come to you. The cattle and the animals, even though they don't understand what you say to them, if you call them, they'll come to you. So they're better than those that you call, and they are able to understand, and they still do not come. And likewise, the animals, if you warn them, or they see some types of danger and the likes, they'll flee and run from that. But the likes of these people, they follow their desires and their whims, casting their own selves into the greatest danger and the greatest harms. And they're turning away and negligent and heedless about the most beneficial things in life, and that is to believe in Allah, and to believe in the last day, and to be concerned with learning the religion, and to be concerned with one's soul and his outcome and his place in the hereafter. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ الْغَافِلُونَ. These people here, they are the heedless, they are the negligent, they are the forgetful. They're forgetful. We should not be deceived by having worldly knowledge. If a person is not purified by faith and favored by Allah Azza wa Jalla and guided, then that knowledge will not benefit him. Then that knowledge will not benefit him. Allah, He mentioned about them, يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ. They know the outward aspect, the material world of this worldly life, the material aspect of this worldly life, but they're heedless of the hereafter. They have knowledge of electronics, and knowledge of different type of technology and engineering, and knowledge of agriculture and so many different sciences, yet it does not benefit them in drawing near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fulfilling the very purpose of their life, and the reason why they were granted eyes and ears and a heart and a mind in the first place. So again, these are those characteristics and traits. So a believer, he would not want to be like that. A believer from his traits and characteristics is knowledge. A true believer is a person of knowledge. Every true believer, every true Muslim, he's a person of knowledge. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever he was favored with prophethood, he was favored with knowledge. And likewise, all of the prophets and messengers, the way that they were raised over the rest of mankind is because Allah selected them and chose them and favored them with knowledge. Adam, he was favored over the angels with knowledge. And Ibrahim, he was favored over his people with knowledge. And Ishaq and Ismail, all of them, Musa, alayhi salatu wasalam, Yusuf, Allah, He mentioned in His book that He favored them with knowledge, with ilm, with hikmah. They were granted knowledge, they were granted understanding. So a true follower of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he will never be pleased to be ignorant. Especially not about his deen, especially not about the tawheed of his Lord, especially not about the pathway of goodness that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he came with in dealings and transaction and conduct and manners, and believing in Allah in the last day, and believing in the books, and believing in the prophets and messengers, and believing in the angels, and believing in the decree. This is the best knowledge, the most beneficial knowledge, the most virtuous knowledge, and those who obtain it, they're the best people. and the most virtuous of people, and they have the highest and most lofty rank. يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتِ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتِ. So this is blameworthy. This is blameworthy. Allah, He mentioned similar like this verse here in Surah Al-Ahqaf, likewise. And He mentioned about those people, and the misguided, and the deviant, the hypocrites, and the disbelievers. وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُمْ سَمْعًا وَأَبْصَارًا وَأَفِدَةً فَمَا أَغْنَى عَنْهُمْ سَمْعُهُمْ وَلَا أَبْصَارُهُمْ وَلَا أَفِدَتُهُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِذْ كَانُوا يَجْحَدُونَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَحَاقَ بِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا بِهِ يَسْتَهْزِئُونَ. That we have given them, we have provided for them hearing, and we have provided for them eyesights, and we have provided for them hearts and minds, and hearing to hear with, and eyesight to see with, and hearts and minds to reflect and to ponder with. But their hearing, nor their eyesight, and their minds did not benefit them whatsoever whenever they rejected the signs of Allah Azza wa Jal. Whenever they rejected the ayat of Allah Azza wa Jal. They rejected the verses of Allah and His signs and proofs. The ayat and His legislation and His book which are recited. And the ayat, the signs that are clear in the creation and the world around us. It's an obligation to ponder over these verses. It's an obligation to ponder over the ayat of Allah Azza wa Jal. It's not a choice. It's an obligation to ponder over the verses in the Quran and to reflect and to realize the truth that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah, and that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and that the Jannah is the truth, and that the Nar is the truth, and that the scales on the day of resurrection will be established, and that we're going to meet our Lord, and along with that our actions, and we'll be taken to account for everything we have said and done. It's incumbent to reflect on the Quran until one he believes this, until he believes this with certainty. And he has certainty with regards to this, just as he has certainty with the fact that he's speaking. With the fact that he's speaking, he has no doubt about that. وَفِي الْأَرْضِ آيَاتٌ لِلْمُوقِنِينَ وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ. يعني it's the haq, كَمَا أَنَّكُمْ تَنْطِقُونَ. It's the truth, just as you speak. Just as you're speaking right now, just as you hear me speaking right now, you have no doubt about that, the resurrection is true. The resurrection is true, and we're going to be taken to account. We're going to die and be brought back to life, and be brought back to life. So therefore, we have a time in this life, and it's a test and a trial. It's a test and a trial, and the means for this test and this trial, barakallahu fikum, is in the heart, in the eyes, and in the ears. In the heart, and in the eyes, and the ears. In the heart, and the eyes, and the ears. It is Allah Azza wa Jal, He has provided for us eyesight. And He has provided for us hearing. And He's provided for us a heart and a mind to reflect with. And this is something that does not go neglected. These are blessings here from the greatest of all blessings. From the greatest of all blessings that do not go neglected. We will be held accountable. We'll be held accountable for these affairs and that which stems from them. That which stems from them, from the actions of the rest of the body parts. From the actions of the rest of the body parts. What we look at affects our heart. And what we listen to affects our heart. And what is in our heart, our hands and our feet, they'll move for. Our hands and our feet will move for. If it's in our heart is the love of Allah Azza wa Jal, we'll move in the pathways of the love of Allah Azza wa Jal, that which is beloved to Allah Azza wa Jal. And if it's contrary to that, or if it's weak in the heart and the love of oneself and desires and whims and the haste and pleasure of this life overcomes that love, then he will move contrary and follow his desires and disobey his Lord. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So the means to benefit from these great organs and body parts is to reflect over these signs, to reflect over the signs of Allah Azza wa Jal in His book, and to reflect over the signs of Allah Azza wa Jal in the creation. That a believer, he's not heedless. He's not heedless about these signs. And these signs in the Quran, they call us to reflect over the signs and the creation. And they coincide exactly and precisely. And this is from the most beautiful affair. And the one who reflects in this manner, reading the book of Allah, and whenever Allah calls him to reflect over the creation, he reflects. He reflects over what Allah calls to reflect over, from the creation of the heavens and the earth and the alteration of the night and the day and the clouds going through the land and the seasons, how they change, and how Allah, He brings the dead back to life from the barren seas. And have you not looked at the camels? And have you not looked at the sky? Have you not looked below you? You do not look how the rain comes above your head? Allahu Akbar. All of these are great signs indicating the majesty and the authority and the command of Allah and the mercy and the kindness of Allah, and the fact that He's going to take us to account, that we're going to return back to Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and be asked about these blessings. So the author, he mentions now a narration. He says, An Asma', رضي الله عنها أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال that the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم he said وإنه قد أوحي إلي أنكم تفتنون في القبور قريبا أو مثل فتنة المسيح الدجال لا أدري أي ذلك قالت أسماء. Asma, she narrated that the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, it was revealed to me. It was revealed to me that you will be tried in the graves. And these trials would be like the trials of al-Masih al-Dajjal, or nearly like the trials. It would be like that or close to that. And either one of the narrators, he says, I do not remember what Asma said. And whether the trials, they're going to be equal to those trials or they're going to be similar to them. So no doubt these are going to be great trials. In the grave, there is trials. And likewise, in the end of times, there are trials. From the greatest trials in this life is the trials of al-Masih al-Dajjal. It's from the trials of the Masih al-Dajjal. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, if he comes when you're alive, fayana anhu, that you leave him. You do not approach him. You turn away from him because his trials are severe and very dangerous. And many people, they will not be able to stand in the face of his trials. And they'll be tried by him and they'll follow him. Waliyadhu billah. Waliyadhu billah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, it was revealed to me that you will be tried in your graves. Like the trial of Masih al-Dajjal, or similar to that, or similar to that. Al-fitna is al-imtihan. Al-imtihan is a test, it's a trial. In the grave, there's a trial. In the grave, there's a trial. There's angels that will come, two of them. Their names are Munkar and Nakir. Munkar and Nakir. And it's said about them, al-fitanan. Al-fitanan. Al-fitan is a person of fitna, a person who comes and tries you. And these angels, they're called al-fitanan, the two fitan. And they're because they're going to try the people. They're going to try them. What are they going to try them in? And their creed and their belief. And their creed and their belief and their faith and their deen. And their deen. Allah, the messenger of Allah, he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَيُؤْتَى أَحَدُكُمْ فَيُقَالُ لَهُ فَيُقَالُ مَا عِلْمُكَ بِهَذَا الرَّجُلُ فَيُؤْتَى أَحَدُكُمْ فَيُقَالُ مَا عِلْمُكَ بهذا الرجل فأما المؤمن أو الموقن لا أدري أي ذلك قالت أسماء. So each one of you will be brought and it will be said, what do you know about this man? And he will be said to him in his grave. This is the explanation of those trials. Each one of you will be brought, meaning in his grave, and it will be said to him, ما علمك بهذا الرجل؟ ما علمك بهذا الرجل؟ What do you know about this man? What do you know about this man? Allahu Akbar. Doesn't even say ما علمك بمحمد أو ما علمك برسول الله. Like the, what do you know about Muhammad? What do you know about the لا ما علمك بهذا الرجل. That way the person, he will not be deceived and he's going to be tried. Maybe if they're saying to him this and praising the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they're blindfolded. Oh yeah, he's the messenger of Allah. لا ما علمك بهذا الرجل. And now we should ask ourselves before this happens. Before we die and we go on our graves and before we're questioned by these angels in this manner, we should prepare for this. مَا عِلْمُكَ بِهَذَا الرَّجُلِ. What do you know about this man? What do you know about this man? What do you know about this man, Muhammad? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Where is he from? Where was he born? How long did he live there? When did he receive prophethood? What was his name? What's the name of his father and his grandfather? What tribe was he from? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How long did he live? What was the first thing that was revealed to him? What did he call to? What was his deen? What was he like before he even received revelation? What did they used to call him before he was even a prophet? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Did he ever touch an idol? Did he ever eat the food slaughtered for other than Allah? Even before prophethood, did this ever happen? And what do you know about this man? مَعِلْمُكَ بِهَذَا الرَّجُلِ. What do you know about this man? What do you know about this man? Because if we do not know about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we'll deny him. Many people that deny the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they do not even realize. They deny him and they deny his rights, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because they did not truly know him. And they did not truly know what he was sent with. And they did not truly know his way. And this is the way of no doubt of every disbeliever and true hypocrite. And likewise, the way of every innovator as well. Innovating and ascribing to the deen of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that which is free from. That which is free from. And they deny at the same time the true sunnah. And whenever you try to teach them the real sunnah, the one that's based upon revelation, the one that is based upon authentic narrations in Bukhari and Muslim and the likes, they will turn away from that. And they'll hold fast to their innovations, which is established in their custom and cultures. And they'll reject the truth and the clear evidence because they don't truly know Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أَلَمْ يَعْرِفُوا رَسُولَهُمْ فَهُمْ لَهُمْ مُنْكِرُونَ. Did they not truly know their own messenger? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore they belie him and deny him. No, it's incumbent for us to know him. It's incumbent for us to love him. rather to love him more than we love our own soul, more to love him more than we love our wife, to love our child, more than we love him, to love him more than we love this whole life. The only thing that we love more than the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the Lord of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And we love the Prophet Muhammad for the sake of Allah, for the sake of Allah. And if you love something, you will know all about that thing. If you love something, you'll know all about that thing. Those young men who love basketball, they know all about basketball. Stats of people who died before they're even born. Stats and shoe sizes and all type numbers and all type of information of individuals. Maybe they're dead before they were even born because they love basketball. Just as an example. Some people, they love other things. And those who love those things, they know all about it. But if we truly love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we can never get enough of listening to his narrations and learning about his hadith and sitting in the gatherings where his name is mentioned and you're saying sallallahu alaihi wasallam, reading the books of hadith, reading Bukhari Muslim, studying that, reading the books where his sunnah is clarified and his law and legal ways are mentioned. One, he cannot get enough of that if you truly love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the manner that is required. So we have to know. This is what they're going to say. Listen to this narration. فَيُؤْتَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَيُقَالُ مَا عِلْمُكَ بِهَذَا الرَّجُلِ. One of you is going to be brought in his grave and it's going to be said to him, yani from those angels, مَا عِلْمُكَ بِهَذَا الرَّجُلِ. What do you know about this man? What do you know about this man? You should ask God. Each one of us, wallahi, should be sincere and ask ourselves, what do you know about this man? If you know something, alhamdulillah, wallahi, you praise Allah, because many people, they don't know about this man. I myself, I lived a lifetime and I never knew about this man. I never even heard his name until one day Allah favored me and guided me to Al-Islam. This is a great favor to know Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A great, great, great favor. It's the favor of favors, the blessing of blessing. Nothing equals. Nothing equals knowing the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because by knowing the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you can know Allah. You can know Allah because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is the mediator between the creation and the creator with regards to guidance and revelation. Not with regards to worship, but with regards to guidance and revelation. With regards to guidance and revelation, Allah has selected and chosen men to be mediators to convey to mankind the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal and the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal and the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal and that which is pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal and that which is not pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. As for the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal, then there's no mediators. You worship Allah alone with no one between you and Him. With no one between you and Him. As for conveying the message, then no doubt the messengers, they are the means that Allah has chosen to reveal the revelation to the creation. So what do you know about this man? What do you know about this man? So he says, each one of them will be brought and it will be said, what do you know about this man? If the person is a believer, I do not know whether it was a word, a mu'min or mu'kin. And he, again, one of the narrators is being honest and narrating this narration. He's saying, I do not remember if Asma, radiallahu anha, she says mu'min or mu'kin. And they have the same meaning. The mu'min is a believer and the mu'kin is a person who has certainty. So he says, فَيَقُولُ هُوَ مُحَمَّدٌ هُوَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ جَاءَنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَالْهُدَى فَأَجَبَنَا وَأَطَعْنَا ثَلَاثَ مَرَارٍ. He will say, and if the believer, he will say at this time, he is Muhammad, and he is the messenger of Allah. And he came to us with clear evidence and right guidance, so we responded and obeyed him. He will say it three times. What is he saying here? He says, هُوَ مُحَمَّدٌ هُوَ مُحَمَّدٌ Rasulullah, ja'ana bil bayyinati wal huda, fa'ajabana wa ata'na. He says that the believer, the one who answers properly, the one who's given success, the one who's truthful in his faith in this life, he will say he is Muhammad. Ma ilmuka bihadha ar-rajul. What do you know about that man? Huwa Muhammad, Rasulullah. Ja'ana bil bayyinati wal huda, fa'ajabana wa ata'na. Fa'ajabana wa ata'na. He is Muhammad. He is the messenger of Allah. He came to us with clear guidance and knowledge, and we responded to his call and we obeyed him. Look here, how the successful, what do they say? They know the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and what he came with. What did he come with? He came to us with al-bayyinat wal-huda, with clarification and with right guidance. With knowledge. So how did they benefit from that? Was that just a sufficient? No, he says, فَأَجَبْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. So we responded to him and we obeyed him. And this has been the point from the beginning of these classes. From the beginning of these classes about atilawa haqqa, atilawa, the true recitation. The true recitation is the application. We have to respond. We have to respond to the call of Allah. We have to respond to the call of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and obey. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and obey. In this manner we will be guided. And this manner will benefit from the blessing of the Quran. Allah, he mentioned about his prophet in his book sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he says, إِن تُطِيعُوهُ تَحْتَدُ. If you obey him, meaning the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will be guided. If you obey him, you will be guided. You understand that part? If you obey him, you will be guided. So the opposite is true. If you do not obey him, you will not be guided. And wallahi, if we ponder and reflect over our own lives, barakallahu fikum, think in your past. Maybe some of you, alhamdulillah, Allah favored you. You've been upright and obedient upon the sunnah your whole life. And this is, wallahi, a favor from Allah. And he gives his favor and grace to whom he wills. But many of us, they're not like that. Some of us were non-Muslim, and then we accepted Islam. And others, they were Muslim, but they were not truly upon the correct guidance in the beginning of their lives. And they did not truly understand the revelation properly and the sunnah correctly. And they were affected by shubuhat or shahawat. And then Allah favored them and guided them. And then Allah favored them and guided them. And if you could reflect and ponder over your life before being favored and guided, and to after, your life before you truly learned about the correct religion, the true deen, as-salafiyya haqqa, when you learned about the true creed, and from compared to before that, the ease that you have now, and the happiness that you have now, and the joy that you have now, and the goodness that you have now, compared to then, it's almost like you were dead before. It's almost like you were dead before. Like you're not even alive. That's a memory that you forgot, a dream that's gone, alhamdulillah, a nightmare you woke up from, and you're not like that anymore. You're not like that anymore. So this is the favor and the blessing. If you obey him, you'll be guided. So before this point here, before this point in your life, before you obey the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam truthfully, and you know yourself, and I know myself likewise, alhamdulillah. If we look before that, the problems that we had, the issues, but whenever you start to obey the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, take for example somebody who is a new Muslim, and they told him, you know, you have to pull your pants above your ankles. Maybe in the beginning he's like, that's not the way my people do it. And where I'm from, that's not the way they do it. They're going to call you, high water. They're gonna laugh at you. Like, this is even before I was Muslim. This is something that we know. They're going to say, high water, what you got high waters on for? Like, this is something that's already known in our society. They're already going to laugh. I know that when I was a kid, they laugh at that. They laugh at that. Or, for example, a beard. And all of these things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has come with that are contrary to the customs and cultures that you are upon. So sometimes in the beginning, it's difficult to accept everything all at once. And maybe you're struggling. But if you reflect and you think back, that whenever you started little by little to follow that guidance, look at the changes that happened in your life. Look at the changes that happened in your life. Look at the goodness that you found in your life. Look at the goodness that came. You were guided to new people who are beneficial for you and to help you in your religion and your worldly life. And all of the good that came, the point is to understand what Allah, he says in this verse, is true, and to reflect over that. إِن تُطِيعُوهُ تَهْتَدُ. If you obey him, you'll be guided. If you obey him, you'll be guided. If it's an obligation, you must obey him. And if it's not an obligation, just obey him. Just obey him because you believe, inshallah, you'll be guided even more. You'll be guided even more. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he came with guidance. And those people who believe in him and they work by that guidance in this life, in the grave, they'll be tried. And this is what they'll say. هُوَ مُحَمَّدٌ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ جَاءَنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَالْهُدَى فَأَجَبْنَا وَطَعْنَا. He is Muhammad, the messenger of Allah. He came to us with clear guidance and knowledge, and we responded to him and we obeyed him. So it's not sufficient to have knowledge. Rather, it has to be knowledge that goes in your heart until you respond and you obey. Until you respond and you obey. And you don't respond and obey whenever the people are looking at you only. Rather, you respond and you obey whenever you're alone likewise. And this is the true test of faith. To be sincere in public and in private. To be sincere in public and in private. And barakallah fikum, a great subtle wisdom that the true faith that's beneficial with Allah Azza wa Jal, beneficial for you with Allah Azza wa Jal, is al-imanu bil-ghayb, believing in the unseen. To have faith in the unseen. To believe in the unseen, and likewise in the unseen to believe. You believe in the unseen because we believe in Allah. We can't see Him now. We believe in angels. We cannot see that now. We believe in the previous revelations of prophets. And we cannot see that now. And likewise, whenever we're unseen by the people, we must believe that Allah can see us and obey Him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, whenever we're not seen by the people, whenever we're not seen by the people, to have sincere faith, to have sincere faith that will carry you to comply to the commandments of Allah, whether the people are with you or not, whether the people can see you or not, whether anyone knows about you or not, you are going to fulfill these rights and establish this deen and abide by these etiquettes and manners, regardless if the people see you or do not see you. This is the faith that is beneficial. This is the one that will bring this great fruit here, that whenever those two fatanan, they come to question, he will say the likes of these words, huwa Muhammadun Rasulullah. Huwa Muhammadun huwa Rasulullah. Ja'ana bil bayinati wal huda fa'ajabna. فَأَجَبْنَا وَطَعْنَا. He responded to him. We responded to him and we obeyed him. And responding to Allah has a special trait about this month. Responding to Allah. Allah, He mentioned in the verses of fasting, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبُ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانْ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. And whenever my slaves ask you about me, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, indeed I am near to them. Indeed I am near to them, meaning with my knowledge and with my help and response. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. I will respond to the caller who calls me whenever he calls. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُ لِي. So therefore let him respond to me. Allah, He responds to you when you call Him. How many times did you call Allah to help you and to save you, to provide for you and to protect you? How many times have you been in danger and Allah responded to your call and He brought you from that danger? How many times were you in, you need help and you're alone and you called on Allah and He brings help to you and He saves you and He brought you out of hardship and difficulty and He protects you and you called on Him and He responded to you? So then this is because He is Allah. He responds to the caller whenever He calls. But Allah, He calls us likewise to respond to Him. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. So therefore, you must respond to Him and believe in Him so that you may be guided. So in responding to Allah Azza wa Jal, meaning complying to His commandments, learning His deen, and preferring that, in this manner one, He will find guidance. In this one, He will find direction. In this manner, He will be upright by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. So he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the narration continues, فَيُقَالُ لَهُ نَمْ قَدْ كُنَّا نَعْلَمُ إِنَّكَ لَتُؤْمِنُ بِهِ فَنَمْ صَالِحًا. And it will be said to him, go to sleep. And he go to rest. And he meaning in his grave, rest in your grave. And he says, we already knew that you were a believer in Him. So sleep in peace. And he meaning rest. In peace. And it's been mentioned in this narration about the trials in the grave is narrated from a number of companions in a number of different narrations. And from that, in Bukhari and Muslim. And each wording has a little bit more information and more details. And in the narration of Anas, here at this portion, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, فَيُقَالُ أُنظُرْ إِلَى مَقْعَدِكَ مِنَ النَّارِ أَبْدَلَكَ اللَّهُ بِهِ مَقْعَدًا مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ فَيَرَاهُمَا جَمِيعًا. At this time, the believer, it will be said to him, look to your seat in the hellfire. It has been, indeed Allah has exchanged it for a seat in paradise. And he will see both of those places. Each one of us now, there's a seat for us in the hellfire and a seat for us in the paradise. And a seat for us in the paradise. And our destination is to one or the other. And our destination is to the one and the other. And the people in their grave, they will see them. Like this narration here. The people of Jannah, they will see their place that was prepared for them in the hellfire. Had they, lo asa'ta, if you had done bad, if you had done evil, if you did not comply and respond and obey, then this was your seat. But because you complied and you responded and you obeyed, this one has been moved. And you have been saved from that. And this one is your seat now, this place in paradise. And this is from the meaning of the narration, specifically likewise, about the nights of Ramadan, وَأَنَّ لِلَّهِ عُتَقَى مِنَ النَّارِ وَذَلِكَ كُلَّ لَيْلَةٍ. And Allah, He has عُتَقَى مِنَ النَّارِ. People, He sets them free from the hellfire every night in Ramadan, and He's setting them free from that seat that they're facing, yani in the hellfire, and guiding them to be able to respond to the call of Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, until they start to work the deeds of the people of paradise. Until they start to work the deeds of the people of paradise. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, wa amma al-munafiq, and this is a shahid for the chapter. Wa amma al-munafiq aw al-murtab la adri ayya dhalika qalat asma fa yaqulu la adri sami'tu an-nas yaquluna shay'an fa qultu akhrajahu. As for the hypocrite or the skeptic, as for the hypocrite or the skeptic is concerned, I do not know which word asma he said. And again, the narrator, he's doubtful whether it's the munafiq or the murtab. And they have, any one of them is the hypocrite, and the murtab is the one full of doubts. Full of doubts. For the other billah, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he will say, I do not know. I heard the people saying something, so I said it. I do not know. I heard the people saying something, so I said it. Ha ha la adri, sami'tu an-nas yaquluna shay'an faqultuhu. I heard the people saying something. And they're saying, la ilaha illallah, I said la ilaha. He does not know what it means. They're reading the Quran, he's reading, he does not know what it means. The point is that these people in the grave, they're punished in this manner because they do not know what they're saying. They do not know it. Even if they're saying some of the good things, like the people were saying, they did not believe that. They did not understand that until it benefited them. The dangers of blind following, especially in Crete. So this is narrated by Bukhari Muslim. The author, he says, in closing, وَفِي حَدِيثِ الْبَرَاءِ فِي الصَّحِيحِ أَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنَ يَقُولُ هُوَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ فَيُقُولَنِي فَمَا عَمِلْتَ فَيَقُولُ قَرَأْتُ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ فَآمَنْتُ بِهِ وَصَدَّقْتُ. And he says in the narration of Bara, any of this narration here, in the authentic collection, this wording here, is in the Musnad of Al-Imam Ahmad, and it is authentic. The believer will say, he is the messenger of Allah. And then he will say, what did you do? Then what did you do? And you remember, what is the question? مَا عِلْمُكَ بِهَذَا الرَّجُلِ. What do you know about this man? So in one wording it's mentioned, he will say, هُوَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. He's the messenger of Allah. And then after that, there's another question. فَمَا عَمِلْتَ. فَمَا عَمِلْتَ. What did you do about it? What did you do about it? Because it's not enough to simply know. You have to also apply. That's the point. And in the previous narration in Bukhari Muslim, they responded, فَأَجَبْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. We responded and we obeyed. So we're going to be asked about this. We're going to be asked about this. We're going to be asked about our Lord and about our Prophet and about our deen. And this requires knowledge and action. The means of safety in this life and the hereafter, and honor and goodness, is by knowledge and action. He said, what did you do? Then he would say, I read the book of Allah, believed in it and affirmed it. Believed in it and affirmed it. Any meaning, I believed in it and I affirmed it, and I abided by it in my lifetime. So it's very clear, the dangers of being ignorant and not having understanding of the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal and of the Quran specifically. So therefore, we should strive to learn the Quran, to learn its mode of recitation, and also learn to understand its law and legislation, and to strive against our souls to implement that in our life until death comes. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from His grace to give us all a good ending, and to grant us an understanding in His religion, and to provide us good and proper insight in His deen. Innahu jawadun kareem. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.